You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right, so it sounds like we're ready or we're... What?
You can talk whenever you're
ready. Yeah, mics are live. You're good to go.
Okay. I can go ahead and talk about kind of preface up to the election, and then after that, do you want to just ask a couple questions so I can play off of?
No.
So that way I'm staying on focus and not going off on my own.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My name is Chris Wumhoff, 39 years old from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Most people outside of Kalamazoo would know me as the person that skateboarded into the Enbridge Line 6B on my 35th birthday as a protest. As a little preface to that, I did that 3 years after Kalamazoo River, a river I grew up on, suffered the largest inland oil spill in U.S. history, despite it being a historic oil spill, being the first of its kind, because it had more chemicals than any other kind of oil spill we've ever had. It was largely kept under the media. and after watching a lot of people get sick and myself getting sick in 2012 for going in the river after the state said it was safe, I ended up doing that as a protest. And that's kind of set my stage as the last few years in Michigan with the oil spill and with getting sick. I started getting really involved in politics, highly critical while getting involved in them. I've been on our Kalamazoo's Environmental Concerns Committee for a few years now. I used to be a part of my neighborhood association and now running for office, which brings me in here.
Well, I'm so glad you made it.
Yeah.
Kalamazoo is the heart of one of our nation's largest problems and crises. It's the root cause of a lot of the crisis that our nation faces on so many different levels. Can you explain to me why Kalamazoo is the heart of the problem?
Kalamazoo, by location, ends up being a great kind of off spot because it's right in the middle of Detroit and Chicago. Another thing that's with Kalamazoo is per capita, we have more billionaires than anybody else in the country.
Wow, that's interesting. More billionaires. So what kind of billionaires are we talking? Who can you tell me who runs Kalamazoo? What two billionaires are there? Can you tell me about those?
Yeah, the two most infamous, we'll say, billionaires is William Johnston and William Parfait. Now, William Johnston is the CEO and president of Greenleaf Trust, literally living in Wall Street, New York. He is a Wall Street CEO. Greenleaf had a hand in the infamous 08 financial collapse, and he's married to Rhonda Stryker. Now, Rhonda Stryker and the Stryker family in Kalamazoo have more money than Oprah. Oprah has less money than this family.
Wow. Okay. So... All right, that's big. So what about the other one? Because this is just one of them.
This is just one of them is the Wall Street CEO. The other guy, and for anybody who's into farming is going to know the infamous company Monsanto, is William Parfait. So William Parfait is also part of the Upjohn Stryker family, this enormously wealthy family. He is also the president and CEO of MPI Research, which means that he grows animals for genetic testing. But his biggest claim to fame is that he's the board of directors of Monsanto, which if anybody is in the farming industry knows, this is the head and capital of GMO farming.
Wow.
And has really escaped a lot of the pharmaceutical industries as well.
Wow. So the people, the billionaires are – okay. So – and what do they control in Kalamazoo? Now they have – you know, we know they're in Kalamazoo, but what exactly are they controlling?
Of course, Michigan is a state that knows a lot about privatization. And for most of the part, Kalamazoo is a liberal city. However, another sticking point for William Parfait is that he is also the financial PAC director for Governor Rick Snyder's Political Action Committee, which means he controls his campaign financing. Successfully, on August 21st in Kalamazoo, these two billionaires engineered something called the Foundation for Excellence, which essentially just privatized 33% of our general fund. Nothing like this has ever happened in the country before. So essentially, these two billionaires control the payment for our emergency services, like our policemen and firemen. And more so, when we agreed to do this, it was an investment for our city to raise $500 million in a philanthropic venture by 2019. And this was to restabilize and re-engineer this new line of government philanthropic privatized never before happened function to run our city. It's widely underreported, unfortunately.
Yes, and seems to be.
Yeah. It's, I mean,
this is just astounding to me, and I've heard it, most of it before, but every time I hear a little piece of Chris's story, it just blows my mind. And what's going on, like I said, I feel like Kalamazoo is really the heart of the problem, not just for Michigan, but for the nation. The state of Michigan holds 20% of the world's fresh water, and we have the oil company and the pharmaceutical company running everything in Kalamazoo, and they're leaking oil. How many oil spills a day does that company leak, Chris?
How many oil spills a day are we having? There's not a daily count, but the company you're referring to, Enbridge Energy Inc., another sticking point is that they have this pipeline under the Straits of Mackinac right now that's 64 years old. It's the company that spilt in our city. And if this spills, you're compromising 20% of the world's fresh water supply in a 12-hour spill. To preface that with our oil spill, it took them 17 hours to realize
that
there was an oil spill before
they
shut the valve off.
And now, just I know you already stated this, but I just want to reiterate, Chris was one of the over 300 people that we know of that were directly affected.
The water, when that spill was actually impacted, of 300,000 people. We have 30 people that have died that have claimed health effects from the oil spill that have died since.
The Kalamazoo oil spill. And I was born in 1987. I graduated high school in 2005. And I'll be honest with you, I had no idea that there was this huge of an oil spill in Kalamazoo. And I feel silly. But I know that it was really underreported. Just like I remember when I found out that the Flint water crisis was going on, and I said, but it's underreported. And they said, no, I'm sick of hearing it. But it is a crisis. It is a – do we realize what's going on? Those people have been poisoned. And, you know, come to find out, I mean, all of our water systems are crumbling. All of our – you know, I mean, this is just – Flint was just the first of many cities, unfortunately.
Here in Detroit, you guys get a big part of this because you have a Petcoke refinery, and there was
just a recent victory. Petcoke. You know what? Why don't you just introduce yourself? This is one of my interns, and introduce yourself.
Okay, come
on. Introduce yourself. Give us your credentials, sir.
Hi.
Very quick.
My name is Robert Giles. What else? Let's see.
How old are you?
I'm 16 years old.
And what are your interests? What are your passions?
I like science.
You like science?
I think science is the new future, evolution.
I think that you're the future. I want to let you know that our children are our future. And if we don't change what's going on, we're setting our children up for disaster in so many different ways. I think it's so important that we come together. But you, this young man is very bright, and he is on our team, and he is making a change with us. We're ready to be the change. So real quick, I wanted to introduce you and get your voice so that I can hear what you have to say, because go ahead and just say, what were you going to say?
Well, on the note of our oil problem, plastic production uses 8% of our oils, and the companies that are using that, I've noticed we've had a repeating stage of oil breakouts, of plastic burning. So me and my team back in Arizona have come up with a bioplastic that uses no oil at all. And it's also half the price of what they would pay to produce these plastics that they're making. And so that's killing two birds with one stone.
And that's why he's on our team. He's about solutions.
You're going to wind up vanished, dude.
So good.
It's going to be like, you know, the guy that invented the car that runs on water. You're just going to disappear.
I know. You better watch it. That's what I told him. I was like, you better not put too much of your genius out there.
The real story from somebody who's fought an oil company, like, you get in the public eye when you release, you go public and make sure you're
very
public.
He's only 16. Don't mess with him.
Yeah, my bad. I mean,
we've actually protected ourselves with that. We have a patent, and so it's something that can't be taken away. So that's not a
good
worry
boy.
For us. We've secured ourselves, and so now I can fully say that this is something.
And
I
he's 16
do.
Years old, people. 16 years old.
Yeah, we started this in a basement.
This was
our first experiment.
Well, I think this is a perfect time to announce, since we were talking about super PACs as well, that the Underground Green Team has assembled, and we have formed a super PAC. We support those who stand up for humanitarian solutions. And this is your chance. Your local elections, they offer voters the most opportunity to make a change in what is going on in their community. Right here at home, if you want to make a difference, you need to go vote. I want you to research your local candidates, know what they stand for, and support a candidate who supports a humanitarian solution. What are you talking about, Katie? I'm talking about things like cannabis. Cannabis is a humanitarian solution. What percentage are we at for the United States that approves that wants recreational cannabis, aside from medical cannabis? Because you know what? I'm a medical cannabis patient. I have anaplastic large cell lymphoma, and cannabis is my medicine. And I am downright angered that they continue to push us and make regulations and loopholes to prosecute my friends and loved ones. And I believe that cannabis and hemp are humanitarian solutions, and we need candidates and people in office that I know everybody realizes it, but we need people in office who are not afraid to be brave. So, I mean, you guys, we have a super PAC for humanitarian solutions. Get on the train. So,
well, I mean, and let's be realistic. I mean, the entire reason why hemp was made illegal in the first place was to protect the cotton industry.
Yes.
Ages ago. We're not a big cotton country anymore.
Right.
Well, hemp can do so many things, and that's why I think that it's been, you know, cannabis and hemp were outlawed for so long. You know, now we do have hemp is federally legal. We can import it from other countries. We can also grow it in certain states like Kentucky and Colorado. But hemp has a lot of the same medicinal qualities as cannabis. It just doesn't have any psychoactive effects.
Mm-hmm.
But hemp can produce anything. We can make cars out of hemp. You can produce fuel out of hemp. You can make clothing out of hemp. Hemp can be made stronger than metal for cars. I believe that Ford, did you guys hear Ford just invested $900 million in Kentucky in a plant that's already there? Why? They're bringing back the hemp car. Bet me. Who wants to bet?
My research and development team back in Arizona as well, that's something that's another alternative to
hemp housing. Doesn't mold, doesn't anything. It keeps down the CO2. I mean, hemp is a humanitarian solution. Hemp for president, people. Seriously. But cannabis, you know, offers a couple things that maybe hemp doesn't. It's a step your game up kind of thing. But it really is. The majority of the United States believes that it should be legal recreationally, not just medically. And I believe that the government does not have the right to tell you what you can and cannot do with your body in general, but definitely not how you can medicate. We have proven cannabis has medicinal qualities. We have the research. We have everything that we need. Why isn't it rescheduled?
Again, coming back to the Kalamazoo thing, as you pointed to, the cotton industry used to be a big reason for why you wanted to look down on this. But it's the pharmaceutical industry that's pushing against it now.
Absolutely.
Because it's not a pill that they can patent.
You can't patent it. Can't patent a plant. You can patent every which way you grow it.
Well, I heard Monsanto mentioned earlier, and I believe if anybody has proven you can patent a plant, it's Monsanto.
Oh, okay, well.
And
well, some pharmaceutical – there is one main pharmaceutical company that has cannabis patented, not cannabis, but every way that they grow it and every different cannabinoid that's found in it, they have some type of patent on it, and that's how they have Marinol and the other pharmaceutical-grade cannabis product. So it keeps everybody else in the industry from making lots of money off of it, but we're really not concerned about that anymore because, you know. So we just want to be free, you know what I mean? And we want to grow the economy, and cannabis is one of the many solutions
And one of my biggest sticking points through this campaign that I'm running for mayor in Kalamazoo right now, and this was after hearing about this foundation that I mentioned, but one of the biggest sticking points for running for mayor is that I wanted to really look at what's happening right now with Michigan and marijuana legalization, marijuana licensing, and not go down this same road that we're seeing with the cannabinoids and these stages where they could legalize it to where this falls monetarily into a monopoly for somebody.
Right.
And my hope was on a local level, if I get elected, I want to first look at city ordinance ways that cities can protect themselves against some of the state and some of the federal regulation, and then set themselves up in ways where first – you set up local ordinances, but furthermore, you set up local ordinances with ways to protect yourself so that when we have something like a Trump presidency and he randomly changes your access to something like medicinal marijuana, you have a legal recourse to fight and appeal that. And that's something that we don't put on local legislation. Our locals, cities in Michigan, really have gotten thrown under the bus as privatization has happened through our taxes, through our services, in a lot of ways. And I think that's got to be not just in Kalamazoo, not just in Michigan, but really throughout our country. We need to get local legislation that has teeth to it, that the citizens can protect themselves, so they're not just at the mercy of who's coming into president or who wants to argue about this in Congress for the next 8 years.
Right. And this is, once again, the local elections. This is your chance as a voter, as a citizen of the United States of America, to be the change, to vote, and to let your voice be heard. When you elect a local candidate, that is what is going to directly affect you from now and in the future. That is what is going to affect you the most. That is where your vote counts the most. That's where it all starts. So talk a little bit about Petco with me.
And there's definitely – I want to shout out to some resources here in Detroit. There's a group called Detroit Coalition of – tar sands. They call themselves the D-Cats, and they've been fighting Petco pretty hard in the Detroit area code since about 2012. They've helped with some of the victories, and even in cases in neighborhoods, they literally went out and blocked some of these Petco deliveries from coming in. So they're a really local resource. They're going to be a lot more up to date as to what's happening in Detroit than I am. But so definitely check those out on a local level. But to understand Petco is a petroleum-based remnant. So this tar sand spill that happened in Michigan, tar sand is a kind of oil that actually comes out solid. It's not a liquid. It merges with sand and it comes out kind of like the consistency of a hockey puck. So what happens as this tar sand oil is drilled up in Alaska is that it's then thrown in with enough chemicals to make it a liquid. It's proprietary, so we think it's somewhere between 500 and 1,000 chemicals. This is then shot from Alaska all the way through Canada through Detroit. Now, how that relates.
This is what Trump's trying to build underneath.
Keystone XL, yeah. He greenlit that. So that's another outlet. And I know they say that it's American oil, but it's all going to international ports. I would just point that out. Yeah. But so the Petcoke, after they refined this oil in Detroit at the Marathon Refinery Factory, they have all this residuals of chemicals left over that they sent over with the tar sand oil. That's what pet coke is. It's the residual remnants of these chemicals in this mining process that came from Alaska. They were at one point setting this up 5 stories high into piles, unprotected, on the Detroit River.
And it lets off a fume, dust, and we breathe it in, and it gives us cancer, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's hundreds of carcinogens in pet coke.
Yes, and it's – aren't the I was watching something with you the other day, and they were talking about the levels just in the city around here of the pet coke in the air and the black dust that it gives off and some of the health problems that it causes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're releasing it into the poorest cities, correct? I mean, this is why, you know, the air quality is so bad there, and it's from the pet coke, and it's making everybody sick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is this correct?
Yes, yeah. I'm spacing on the zip code. I think it's the 49812, and it's actually considered the dirtiest zip code in America.
And it's in Michigan. And it's in Michigan, you know.
Detroit, not just
Detroit,
Michigan, but in
right.
Detroit,
it's
yeah.
Detroit, Michigan. And that's just so, like, I understand the dirty air, but it's like, once again, I believe that Michigan is a key because we hold 20% of the world's fresh water that surrounds us, you know, and water is so important. So why are we letting these billionaires come in and ruin our natural resources? Huh. I mean, I just think that we all need to get it together here.
Because we're living the first 10 minutes of Idiocracy. If you haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's a good point.
Sadly. Yeah.
I just want people to wake up.
And of course, I can only speak for my city of Kalamazoo, but Kalamazoo is a 1/10 scale of Detroit.
Right.
We have excessive crime in our neighborhoods. We have cities, buildings crumbling, businesses, microoscopic kind of level. So it's not the same scale, but on a micro scale, we also have all of this laid waste property and just abandoned area, and then all the pollution,
all the blight.
Yes,
just like in
exactly.
Detroit, all the blight. I see that as opportunity, though.
Well, and you got to be
as well.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand what kind of opportunity you're looking at, though, because also I think you can see this gentrification part in Detroit, where yes, you can have blight and you can have a neighborhood torn down, but you need to be mindful, or as a society, we need to be more mindful about who gets that property.
That's right.
Because often it's also the people who are causing the blight in those neighborhoods, and
absolutely,
it's become a financial game for them. And there's a lot of racial parts to that. It's intentional. I mean, and so we do need to bring the neighborhoods back, but we need to do that by empowering some of the people that have struggled in these neighborhoods before
absolutely
we look to other people to save it.
And more solutions, too, I think, with the pollution and everything that all that puts off, tearing it down, building it back up, more of a solution. Do you guys know that when you plant hemp in the ground, it cleans the soil and the air? Did you guys know that? Hemp for president. No, hemp to the game. Seriously, though, what if we could take all that, tear the blight down, plant the hemp, clean the soil, and use it for something good? Tell me about some of your solutions, Chris. I want to know about what's going on in Kalamazoo and how you're making a difference, because I know you are in so many different ways that really count, and you give back so much, and I just want people to know about that.
So my neighborhood in Kalamazoo, it's called Edison Neighborhood. The 11% of the fifth graders in my area have access to heroin or are selling heroin by fifth grade. So it's,
oh my gosh,
it's tense.
That hits close to home. That's that is so sad.
Like microcosm. I know Detroit, I feel kind of silly coming to Kalamazoo talking about hard problems to Detroit. So
right,
I acknowledge that again.
Still,
but the same thing with these access to properties, things like that. We have all this blight around. So one of the things that I've started doing is we have something called Edison Ducks in a Row. So we take these vacant lots and then introduce people that are around them. Kids first, we introduce them to ducks and chickens and the very basics of farming. Just simply like, hey, this is a chicken. And it lays an egg.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you just give us a little bit of an idea of what's – do most of the kids know that an egg comes from a chicken?
It's surprising. The biggest surprise is the parents.
The parents.
there's a large amount of parents that they'll get
that
surprised.
Don't realize that the chickens are where they get their eggs from.
Yeah, and it's access. It's really access. It's
that's
you know,
what it's about.
That does tie in a lot. I mean, you see how when you were a kid, you'd go to farms and you'd go to the pumpkin patches. But a lot of kids nowadays see that through TV and through social media. You see other people going to farms. It's like you don't experience what we used to experience. So much is cut off unless you go to a zoo.
Right.
I see this a lot in Arizona, that although it's all this farmland in the city areas, you really don't – like a lot of people don't know what animals are what. And I'm just like, really? You've never seen – this type of animal, you don't know what this animal gives you. Do you know a cow gives you milk?
Right. Like, which, by the way, you really shouldn't drink cow's milk, but we won't get into that today. But yes, no, exactly. He's so right. So you provide that for the kids, and these are children that wouldn't get that experience otherwise. So you educate them. You let them name a duck, correct? You let them care for a duck. You teach them. And these are important life lessons that they wouldn't have got otherwise.
And it works. There's layers to it, just like everything else. And it's on an individual basis. So, you know, some of the kids in my neighborhood, they're 14, 15. They, you know, having a pet duck isn't what they're on. But they're trying to figure out how to get a career right now. And, you know, they're looking at their options. So we're trying to set up where we can get these properties and show these kids how to do farming, where they can actually make a living off of it. Looking at microgreens and things like that.
I was just going to ask. You.
That you can grow in your house. So in an urban setting, it's actually possible.
Absolutely. By the way, guys, we're working on a documentary called The Cure, and you're about to watch me. I'm not going to do any chemo. I do have anaplastic large cell lymphoma. I have to get a double mastectomy very soon. My breast implants gave me cancer. Would you imagine that? Medical Device and Safety Act needs to be changed. That's what I'm saying. So I have to get a double mastectomy soon, but I'm okay with it. They're just boobs. And cannabis is my medicine. And I have been an herbalist and a healer for 10 years. I've actually put my lymphoma into remission once with food-grade hydrogen peroxide before it was diagnosed. And I'm up for the challenge, and I want to show the world that for everything that could ever go wrong with you, for any disease, for anything that's going to happen to your body to throw it off balance, there is something on this earth to put it back into the right, into homeostasis, to allow your body to heal itself. Your body is an amazing vessel that is very, it just has so many awesome, it can do so many awesome things. And Chris and I are going to be working on some really cool things, and one of them is The Cure. And microgreens are one of the ways that I'm going to be treating myself, and I'm going to be documenting it. And we also are going to be working with animals that are sick. Microgreens, CBD and hemp, cannabis, vegan diet in general. We're going to show you what we can do, but we're working on so many awesome things. So Chris is teaching the kids back to what he was talking about, though. Sorry, like I said, that was a secret leak. The microgreens. Tell us about the microgreens. Give us a little and on what we're going to teach the kids to do as far as like basically seed to sale, different in microgreens and the power of microgreens.
Right.
Just a little info.
And so one of the problems with some of our accessible space is that it's highly polluted. So maybe some of this ground you can't dig into. So we want to show kind of smaller scale farming examples as well. One of these is microgreens. So in microgreens, you can literally just take a tray, take maybe 24 inches by 20 inches. It can be 12 inches by 12 inches. And you just set some basic soil. We're using coco coir. You take your plants, and it can be a huge variety of vegetables. We're using kale and radishes right now, and you only grow them for 7 to 10 days. They call them microgreens because you're getting them just in their infancy, between their second leaf and their third leaf. When you do that, that's actually one of the highest concentrations of nutrition that a plant has.
Amazing. Like what, 400 times?
Like 2 to 4 depends on the plant, but you can have 2 to 400
times the nutrients. In 7 to 10 days, it's called microgreens, people, right? Yeah. Microgreens. And I'm going to juice them. I'm going to juice them. I'm going to blend them. I'm just going to eat them because that is how you cure yourself of anything that's really wrong with you.
And they're
that's one of the ways.
And they're very popular with restaurants. Now, granted, you know, this is in New York, but there's people in New York that they've committed one bedroom in their apartment, and they're pulling in $250,000 a year because they can grow this level of gardening in a room in their apartment. Now, I don't think, you know, this is Michigan. Farming is way different than New York, but there's still an opportunity to make entire careers. And hopefully, as we're doing these introductions, as this is becoming career incubation, I'm also tracking with our local school, K College, for a 5-year or 10-year plan to look at how many local businesses we would need to start in order to start relocalizing our public educational food.
Nice.
So how do you combat or deal with I know there's been a rash over the course of the past like 2 years of local communities, townships, that kind of stuff that are either trying to or have banned urban farming. Mm-hmm. Like you can't farm in your backyard. You can't have your own chickens. You can't have your own whatever. So, I mean, is Kalamazoo facing any of that?
Very much. I actually, on November 9th.
Funny you should mention.
Yeah, funny you should mention. I'm facing.
That's what I'm here for, the good segues. Yeah. That's what I'm here
for. On November 9th, I'm actually facing 3 charges for the ducks, for having this duck program right now. The city actually
Remember who he's fighting, guys. 11 years, the same guy has been mayor. He took away consecutive terms, and he's ran by the pharmaceutical and oil companies.
And he's the Monsanto guy. He is on public meeting record as saying he will defend the board of Monsanto to the hilt. So it's they're very against urban farming. They'll say that they love it, but they show action very much against it.
Well, not only that, but I mean, so I learned not too long ago, just on the Monsanto tip, mm-hmm. And this gets into the whole, you know, they've patented their seeds and that kind of stuff. If let's say that you're a farmer, mm-hmm. And you've got your field, and like across the road is a Monsanto field. Mm-hmm. If they can go and prove, because what do seeds do? Seeds blow around.
Yeah.
They move. That's how nature works. But if Monsanto finds their seeds,
their
plants in your field,
they say you take them.
They start to either sue you, fine you, tax you, whatever, and essentially force you to start growing Monsanto crops.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ludicrous.
And
not like song ludicrous, like insane ludicrous.
And there's layers for the American farmer, for people that are outside of that area. It's not even just Monsanto. On tractor equipment now, they literally have parts of the engine of their tractor where you violate a corporate proprietary deal if you work on your engine. So there's a lot of levels where the American farmer is getting hit really hard.
Now, so I, coming at it from the IT perspective, we've talked about this on our show quite a few times where actually that's getting shot down.
Is it getting changed?
The right to own or right of ownership.
Okay.
Because like HP was, of all people, of all places, was actually a landmark case for this because it was them and Keurig.
Okay.
Because HP was going after the people that were using replacement toner cartridges, mm-hmm. that weren't HP. Keurig was going after the third-party cup manufacturers.
Yeah.
And the OEMs for the automotive were keeping a very close eye on this because obviously they want you to go to the dealership for a $150 oil change instead of a $19 oil change or doing it yourself. And so HP and Keurig both got slapped down. And so this whole right of ownership thing is basically – there was a huge sigh of relief from like the mechanic industry and that kind of stuff because the OEMs were trying to push it down
it was
because
John
they
Deere
don't want
was,
people working on their cars. So I'd be curious how it's going to ripple back into the farming industry that way, because I, like I said, I know it's been shot down from an automotive perspective now.
Yeah, John Deere is the big flag company involved in that. So that would be I didn't know about that development. That would be interesting, but yeah. So getting back to how we deal with this on a local level, one of the things that's being looked at in Kalamazoo is a way to restructure our ordinances, the legal ability that most cities have to come and shut you down is to say you have birds or you have farming going on in a residential area, and that's an agriculturally zoned process. So there's – and the reality, we love to hear in politics that this is going to be hard and then you have to figure all these things out. The reality is that you need to change the wording on a piece of paper, and that's how you make these things possible.
It's that nobody wants solutions.
And so in Kalamazoo, we have people that are involved in the city that are looking how to do these hybrid rezoning to allow this. But if you don't have something like that in place in your city, you just go down to your zoning commission. You ask how to get a petition going, or else you go and talk to the zoning commission and say you want to make this change. If they're apprehensive, get a petition, and if you think there's enough people in your city that want to change it, you can change it. Yeah. Otherwise, if you do see that there's some people on your zoning board or somewhere that want to make this change, city commissioners that want to make this change, go and talk to them about sponsoring. And we're doing this 2 days before the Michigan local elections. If we get this out on a Sunday or Monday, if you're hearing this right before the election, ask your politicians, will they support this? Whether it's going to be marijuana legalization or medical marijuana legalization for the licenses, whether it's going to be for urban farming.
Ask about the issues that are important to you.
You have the next 40 hours in the most accessible time you're going to have with your local politicians to get a yes or no out of them on what they want.
Reach out to them.
I'd say another thing that that's like a potential push could be the fact that a lot of medical marijuana users are treated as drug users, and if that shouldn't be the case.
Well, absolutely. Do you know that I've been turned down by almost every major healthcare facility in Michigan and sent home to die? And I finally, somebody in the medical marijuana community that was a doctor listened to me and said, this poor woman has lost, 50 pounds. Her lymph nodes are inflamed. She's sick. And they started to listen. But before that, because I was a medical marijuana patient, they thought I was drug seeking when I started going to all the hospitals, sick, in pain, vomiting. They thought I was drug seeking. And then they would do the drug test. Oh, well, the only thing in the system is cannabis. Well, she's got to be just seeking drugs.
It's a very...
And that's sad. That's
so
sad.
I think it's, 2 weeks from now, this kicks in, the roadside drug testing. Have you been following this?
Oh, my goodness. I heard a little bit about that, but I've been so busy. That is just going to – I didn't think they could do it.
Well, so it's pretty weird. Like apparently they have and it's not like just a random it's not like a checkpoint kind of thing. But if they suspect that you're impaired, they're bringing out these – specially trained officers, and I'm not on camera, so you can't see the huge air quotes that I'm mocking them with.
Oh my gosh.
Who have, they bring out, and so the weird thing is, though, is they're not testing for the presence of, say, weed. They're testing for the antibodies, the reaction that your body gives. So the really crappy thing about this is you can, because of what they're testing for, you could have smoked weed a week ago. Mm-hmm. And still test positive on this. And if you refuse to take the test, it's a civil infraction. So it's not as bad as like with a if they DUI. Suspect you of DUI, they immediately, your license is yanked for 6 months, yada, yada,
right,
yada.
If you don't blow.
But if you refuse to take this test, it's still a civil infraction. And like I said, you can I believe it's up to 2 weeks after use that like this test will test
you
positive.
So now this is just giving all the attorneys one more thing to fight for to keep the cannabis in the war on drugs.
It's crazy how they
is that what this is? That's exactly what that sounds like to me.
Well, and so – and you talked about privatization.
My attorney friends, but come on, guys.
Yeah. You talked about privatization. One of the other shows that's in here is called The Returning Citizen, and it's all about people that are getting out of jail and trying to get their life back on track and that sort of thing.
Nice.
One of the facts that came up on that show that floored me, and I had to I actually had to go look to see if it was true because, the prison industry is privatized.
Yes. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, for
profit. Prisons for profit are already here, people.
But here's the kick. the state is on the hook if those cells aren't full.
Yes.
Oh yeah. So if they the cells aren't three people to a cell.
Oh, no. If there's an empty jail cell, the state is paying that company that owns the jail, the prison. Mm-hmm.
So no matter what, if
right.
empty or full, they're always getting paid.
Right. So it's
So let's overcrowd them. It costs about 30 cents a day to feed them, three meals a day. Listen, I could go on and on about that. I won't now.
To get back to your point about the school to prison pipeline,
that's what we're talking about. That's why they've taken away the mental health care system.
Well, and
because
it was,
they're putting the sick poor people in jail, and that's just the bottom line. We're not incarcerating violent criminals. It's a money game, and it's sick.
My day by day work when I'm not trying to be an activist or a political person has actually been in mental health since 1998. So I actually watched Governor Engler cuts before we moved on then, and I was working in Allegan County, and from 2000 to 2001, I watched almost everybody in the case law in Allegan County lose funding because the county went bankrupt. And that's exactly what happened. We took a lot of people with disabilities. They became homeless. They couldn't take care of themselves because they were supposed to have staffing, but they didn't have money. They got thrown out of their apartment. And then because they couldn't take care of themselves, they got put in jail. And that's part of a process. That's just one cog to this whole pipeline process. You look at what's happening, like any city. Well, and it's a process. It's systematic. They go, and it's nothing more than business, like you said. That they got to keep those jail cells full.
It also
makes jobs. In my air quotes this time, it makes jobs to have kids in prison and homeless in prison and going through the tax system and the court system over and over again, because then we have this money that we can take from the community to put on these taxes. And the reality is, in a state that's doing more and more privatization, when you're going tax breaks for large industries, you have to make up the money somewhere. And in this state and in this country, and to a growing degree, it's going the wrong direction. We're not getting smaller. We're getting larger. We make up the ends by criminalizing our citizens. And that is not theoretical. That's the business practice of this country.
Well, it is. Well, I mean, just like on the DUI front, like, so, you know, I've done a tour of duty through all of the automotives, talked to a couple different engineers. Like, if they really wanted to stop drunk driving, it would add about $20 to the cost of a car to install a breathalyzer lock, just rolling off the assembly line with them. But why won't they? Because lobbying, because it's, you know, I had a buddy of mine that got popped like 6 months ago. It's $8,000 for this. It's $1,000 for this.
Absolutely.
It's $2,000 for this. It's the classes here. It's the this there. Why would they want that to go away? I mean, Frazier has got some really nice, shiny new cop cars, man.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty slick. Yep. Pretty sure I know where those got funded from.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness.
You see, it's a workforce that they need. When we go back to prisons, our prisoners don't get out of jail and have somewhere to go. You send them to prison and put them in there locked away from the world, and then throw them back, and then they're usually back in prison within the next few months because you have no understanding of how the world works.
It's not even that, though. It's that they attach probation to it and all these other, you know, probation or parole. And a lot of times it's hard for people to keep up with probation. They have no resources. They violate. They go back. It's a continuous cycle.
And it's like,
and
you could, I think a growing, something I've seen, a fight in Arizona, a new protest was to have camps instead of prisons. Like, to, you know, you see someone who's
grown
up.
For nonviolent offenders, that'd be perfect.
That is what, it's like you do something, whether it was out of your mental state or you were driven. It's in a case of murder. Let's go there. Some people.
So this is a prison. Have camps that are like.
No, this is to change the system from imprisoning someone to teaching them what to do and what not to do. You see, our communities, these kids aren't taught between what's right and what's wrong because their parents are doing
the morals.
It's like what you see going around, and then you imprison them and expect to change because they sat in a prison cell for so long. They're supposed to not do this. Instead of doing that, they think that if you taught them what you believe is right is wrong.
So this is a camp that is going to actually rehabilitate the offender. Okay. So, but it's not for just, so it's for all crimes or nonviolent or?
To an extent.
Because I think people, that's where I think people need to wake up to. I'm a DPA all the way, which is Drug Policy Alliance, and I am for no harm, no foul. I used to think like, oh, this drug's bad and that one's okay and maybe this one's all right. But really, my eyes have just been open to the fact that the war on drugs is an epic failure, and putting people that have issues with addiction, which is a mental issue, the root cause of addiction, let me tell you, is unresolved emotional trauma. You can be addicted to anything, whether it's drugs, food, shopping, or sex, but it's unresolved emotional trauma that you're going to have to, that emotional trauma is going to have to be resolved, and you're going to have to replace the habit that you're making yourself happy with something that's positive and that's beneficial for you and your body. And that's the only way to beat addiction. It's not with 12-step meetings. It's not with jail. It's not, though. And by incarcerating people that struggle with addiction, we're only setting them up for failure. We're tearing apart families. We're setting up children for failure. By giving the children the cell phones and letting them play on them all day and become addicted to those, we're setting them up for failure. And let me also state that unresolved emotional trauma damages your DNA. It actually is cumulative, and it is passed down to your offspring. Unresolved emotional trauma can actually physically manifest into illness. And just addiction is just one of them.
Well, I just think, you know, based on how, you know, wonderful the war on drugs and the war on terror have gone, I'd like to see the government declare a war on jobs. I think that'd be great. I think that'd be great.
Unfortunately, I think that was one of the Cold Wars that they didn't tell us about.
And what did we say? What are we planning to do? So, I just want to let everybody know that Chris, you're running for Kalamazoo. Kalamazoo is the heart of the problem.
I think
Kalamazoo. It's safe to say Kalamazoo is the heart of the problem in Michigan. Fact, I know it. I don't care. Chris is just being he's being reserved. And he's being like, oh no, it's really not. But really, it is. This is the hugest election for Michigan in the United States. It starts with the local elections, and Kalamazoo is the heart of the problem. Everybody needs to go out and they need to research their local candidates that are running for election on Tuesday. And you need to make sure that you support a candidate that stands up for humanitarian solutions. Cannabis is only one of them. Look into what they're doing. Look into who they're with. Who do they roll with? This is so important. If you're ready to be the change, to make a change, if you're in Kalamazoo, make sure you vote Chris Wamhoff. But you know what? No matter where else you are, do your research. Do your research. Be the change. Go out. Vote. If you are 18 years or older, if you are registered to vote, this is your opportunity to make a difference. If you look around and you do not like what you see, you've got to change it. You have got to stand up and be the change. It only takes one person to make a difference. One person. And the change starts with you. Oh. Go ahead, Chris.
I really try to live my life kind of modeled after something I heard from somebody, a Detroit legend named Gracie Lee Boggs. She wrote a book called The Next American Revolution and kind of talked about a lot of the things that we're looking at. Her and her husband were GM employees, and they seen the first machines in the late 70s start coming in to replace employees, and they were part of civil rights and just kind of talked about the scope and the changes that they were seeing in Detroit even back then. She passed away, I believe it was 2015 or 2016. It was very recently. But I got to see her in 2013, and she said the most impactful statement I've ever heard somebody say. And she told us at 100 years old that change, that obviously we all know this country needs change, but she said that the route to change is important. And she said no matter who you are, it's the same route, and that change starts in the mirror. And that after change in the mirror starts the change in your room, your house, and then your street and your city. And the further I've gotten into politics, especially the national elections and the Trumps and the Congress and the Senate and the circus that all that is, the truth is, as critically awful as it looks in our national scope right now, to effectively change it, you have to start at your local scope. No matter as terrible as the national looks, your local politicians are doing the same things on a local level, and those laws and those influences are going to play a large role.
You just don't hear about them. Like, you hear about what, you know, all the other stuff's going on. You might not hear about it. It's covered up by the local media, or it's not, you know, but they are. They're doing the exact same scandals and things. So if you don't like what you see, change it.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, though, Chris.
What's up?
Something that me and my group fight for, where my group's name is Oculus.
Okay.
Eye openers. That's what we see ourselves
as. Yeah, I like it.
And we run by evolution, not revolution.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I don't necessarily think that those are different. I think that the situation depends on how
they branch out, I guess, how they flower, they blossom.
Because I don't think, for instance, the book I referenced next, American Revolution, revolution from now on isn't going to be Minutemen with guns, and it's not going to be that kind of fight. We live in a different age now. We live in an evolving age. We live in an evolving technology, and that's the game that we have to start playing. Is to get ahead. I mean, you look at all the local entrepreneurs yourself as an example, that evolution is revolution in the instance of what you're looking at in economics. So in this instance, I mean, I feel like those are very merged words and not differentiated.
I like that. Let's support that. Hashtag evolution is revolution.
There nice.
Yeah.
See? Learning something new every day. He's a genius, though.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, I dig
like
it, man.
Him.
I dig it. Yeah.
You're going to do great things.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Now, is there anything else that you want to mention? We've got about 15 minutes left. If not, then we'll make some run-throughs to direct people to our show in the future.
Definitely just to plug it and get it out.
You okay? Is Petty okay?
I'll go.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
All right, is she?
Yeah, she's fine.
Okay, okay.
My daughter's caring for Petty. Well, I don't know. People are listening live, too. I think they're doing a live one. Since it's our first one, you never know who's going to be watching. Like, what the heck is going on there?
Petty is my little kitten. Yes.
Okay, so, yeah, is there anything else that you wanted to make sure that you mentioned?
Yeah, tomorrow night, I'm planning on Monday evening to do a Facebook Live town hall to get myself an accessibility. Wanted to do a live event. We were talking about doing something for marijuana.
What is the legislation that you were going to? Did you know?
I want to speak about that. That's a huge
we're
part. We're
going to speak about the legislation that Chris is going to introduce when he becomes mayor of Kalamazoo.
Either way, I want to introduce legislation.
He's becoming the new mayor.
Yeah, on the local level, I want to introduce legislation to make Kalamazoo the most welcoming city for these new 5 licensed employment opportunities for marijuana. Right now, our city, like many cities, is taking a state recommendation as how they want to handle it, and I don't want us to handle that. I think this is something that shouldn't be controlled by people who have large
Absolutely.
Pockets. I want this to be accessible to people that are on the street, that are starting a business. And so that's a large
Safe
catalyst.
Access is key. I believe everybody should have safe access, and that shouldn't be denied to anybody. And the opportunity to have a business in the medical marijuana industry should not be denied to anybody, small business or a larger business alike. I think that it should be an open market, pretty much. It should be a free market. Yeah, I don't want it to go corporate, but are we really going to be able to stop that? I don't know. But
we can control which corporate.
Absolutely.
Which is what the important part is.
Absolutely, because that's what's important.
I want it to be a local corporate. I don't want Monsanto growing my medicine anymore.
Absolutely. And I just think that we shouldn't deny anybody the opportunity to be in that business, no matter how small they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's our job.
And so,
is she okay?
Okay. All right. So, yeah, that just a plug for that, that I want to make that accessible. I want an opportunity for any of the citizens in Kalamazoo to get a chance to talk about the legislation. If you're not in Kalamazoo, but you want to hear kind of the ideas and how we look at that, so you can look at it for your city.
Absolutely. If you're not in Kalamazoo, you still absolutely. If you are not in Kalamazoo, I still want you to take a look at Chris's Facebook Live. Hopefully, I'll be doing one too. But you can. Where can we tell people to follow, be able to look at your Facebook Live on Chris Wemhoff for Kalamazoo?
One is just Facebook Chris Wemhoff, spelled W A H as in horse, M as in Mary, H as in horse, O F as in Frank, F as in Frank. If you're in West Michigan and you're saying the Christmas tree people, yes, the Christmas tree people. We've been farming for a long time.
So say your name one more time.
Wemhoff, Chris Wemhoff, or else
Facebook is at Chris Wemhoff.
Yep. Or you can look at for Chris for Kalamazoo, which is my political page, but is
Chris for Kalamazoo?
Yes. Yeah.
ChrisForKalamazoo.com.
Yes. And
Chris
also
ChrisForKalamazoo.com
with the number 4, not F O R, but the number 4, so
Chris,
that we could look at you.
Number 4, Kalamazoo.com. Chris, the number 4, Kalamazoo.com. Did I say it right?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
And just the last part, and if you're listening to any of this broadcast and you're hearing this and you're from Detroit or one of these places that have an emergency manager and you know somebody in Kalamazoo that's hearing this Foundation for Excellence, let them know what an emergency manager is. Because my community is being told that this is going to be a great thing, that we're privatizing everything. And sometimes people... So
and that's not the case. They're being lied to, unfortunately, fed some BS. Really quick, too, before we run out of time, why don't you tell me, did we talk anything about what's going on with the education system, how they just totally cut funding in Kalamazoo? That's a big one that people, this is going on and people don't even realize it. It's not just in Kalamazoo, though. It's happening in other places. They're taking away funding, and we really need to pay attention to this. You know, you want your kids to get quality education. Well, we got to take care of our teachers, and we can't keep cutting funding, that's for sure.
And the state level, I'm going to actually kind of skip Kalamazoo on this. The state level, Michigan needs to look at the fact that we just disbanded the State Board of Education
last week.
Oh, my gosh,
the state level. It wasn't just Kalamazoo, yeah, Katie.
It was the state.
The state
we disbanded
of Michigan
the state board
just
of
did
education.
What?
Yeah, we disbanded the
if
State
I,
Board of Education last week.
The state of Michigan disbanded the State Board of Education. Our children are our future. I mean, wake up. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. I didn't know what to think when I read it. I thought it was
just
a joke.
that's just I don't know if I I don't know. Like, I want to cry. I want to yell. That just infuriates me. I don't even know if I said that word right, but you know what I meant. Gosh, okay.
That's a common problem that my team up here, Oculus, that's what we've been heading towards.
We only have a couple more minutes. I just want to, what does that mean, Chris? They disbanded the State Board of Education. What does that mean for our kids? They don't get, like, what's going to happen? What does that mean? What are the repercussions of that?
What... as what you can see over the last 10 years is that Michigan is leading the nation, but as a nation, we're heading into more privatized schools, which means profitized schools, which means that as long as they hit a quota, everybody's going to get the same amount. It's not going to be about a value for the kids.
Well,
it's going to be monetary.
Public school systems.
So essentially, the focus goes from the kid to the money. That's the important part to understand with what happens when you go to for-profit. Michigan is leading the country in these steps that we're taking. As we see all of these for-profit charter schools, our education national head, DeVos.
So we're killing public education to push them all towards the charter schools, which is the privatization in the school system.
Yes, and there's okay. And there's different kinds of charter schools, so
right.
You can't attack them all. You have to look
okay,
at them
well,
on a level.
The charter school model, just privatized schools. We're taking out the public school system so we can give people free private schools that we're just, you know, we're just
profit.
Our poor
it
kids.
Becomes profit. Yeah.
Once again, our children are our future, and I don't know where you guys think we're going to be in a couple years if we don't stand up and make a change.
And the State Board of Education, what to understand about that is that that was the standard. We just got rid of the standard to make sure this is the level of education that these kids are going to have. So that's what we just lost last week was that state oversight of this is what we expect for our kids to be able to graduate with.
So can we get that back?
There's a way to get all of it back, and it starts...
Solutions.
Yep.
It starts with you.
Yep. It starts on an individual level. We need a lot of people on an individual level finding the things that are passionate, like you talked about, Evolve. People have ideas on where they want to go in life. We need people to follow those.
We need volunteers.
We need support. That's the number one thing that you see our parents nowadays. A lot of kids are pushed towards lost dreams of parents. We need support for kids. If there's education all around the world, and there are kids out there who aren't basic. There's so many new ideas that I get from all of my friends and my associates on creating new careers that no one would have ever thought about. And it's all about creativity and imagination. We need to allow our kids and have them and their friends be able to go out and enjoy the world and see the world and pursue their passion how they would like to and not how their parents would like to or how the family usually does it. If there's a change, let them have it. That's something that I see is that, you know, kids have all of these great ideas and it shouldn't be categorized. They should be mm-hmm. free to pursue exactly what they want to pursue, how they want to pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Man, well, I'm
preach
still,
on that, man.
Yeah. He's, like I said, he's a genius. Gosh, I just want to say thanks for you guys coming. And before we end this, we got a couple minutes left. I want to make sure that everybody knows who we all are. What is your name?
Robert Giles. I'm 16, and I stand behind Oculus.
Statement Oculus, and you also are going to be a part of Stir in the Pot, I'm sure, because we have lots of awesome, awesome things that Oculus can contribute to Stir in the Pot. And you are Chris.
Yeah, I'm Chris.
Chris for Kalamazoo with the number four. Chris, yeah. Number
Chris,
four.
Chris Walmhoff. You got to remember that snazzy last name. Yeah.
Chris Walmhoff. Okay, Chris Walmhoff, you're running for Kalamazoo. Mayor of Kalamazoo, everybody, the change starts with you. And whether you're in Kalamazoo, whether you're in Michigan, whether you're in any state throughout the United States, research your candidates and know who you're voting for. Vote for somebody that's going to stand up for what's right and are going to be the change themselves and do the work. I'm Kate, the Green Queen. I want to invite all of you guys to join me in my new series with Podcast Detroit. It's going to be called Stir in the Pot, where you're going to reach new highs, start a buzz, and the Underground Green Team has formed a super PAC. We support those who stand for humanitarian solutions. You can go to www.dare2beaware.com. That's dare2beaware.com. And you can find out more information, links to the new show, and just what we're about. If you want to make a difference, contribute, volunteer. I highly encourage it. Thanks for listening. Podcast Detroit. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Amazing space. Yeah, thank you.
We have our moments.
Hey, I think you're pretty cool so far.
Me too.
What were you trying to say? I just wanted to get that bit in, so I think you got like one minute left.
Back to the because this is what Oculus is about. Is
okay. Yeah, tell us. Yeah.
What keywords were we talking about? I'm sorry. Oculus, with going back to the kids in the schools, I am attending Thurston High School. I'm also working with my principal, all of the counselors, to partner my organization with their school. This is going to allow me to personally invest with all of the fundraisers we will have.
And what is it going? What is the key of what you're doing?
To change the curriculum every single year. So as our education grows.
Nice.
The curriculum will be changed. The kids will have access to new books, new technology.
Can kids vote on the curriculum they want?
We're doing it all throughout the school.
Nice.
It's going to be...
So the kids choose the curriculum instead of a standardized curriculum. That's genius.
It's to open up a lot of new possibilities. You see, like, the world's growing so
much. Follow Oculus, guys. He's got some ideas.
We're stuck on these four subjects. You know, everyone goes to school to learn math, language arts, science, and history. But there's so much more out there now. And it's like kids in high school, they just get thrown out in the world with nothing to do. And, you know, your career isn't supported. So that's what we're all about.
Giving
the kids a voice.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know what? Everybody needs a voice, man. That's sweet. So if you're under 18, you need to check up with Oculus, that's for sure. And if you're over 18, you better get out there and vote to use your voice. All right, guys, stir in the pot. Keep your eyes and ears open. And www.daretobeaware.com. You can also find links to Stir in the Pot. Take care. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.
The dark side's called a lot of misery.